الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الناس معادل، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Our most respected ulama ikram, respected elders, our dear brothers and young friends. Today, one of the greatest needs of humanity is for each individual and for humanity at large to rediscover its humanness. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us not as beings, but Allah rabbul alameen has created us as human beings. And in Arabic, the term that is known, that is referred to a human, is al-insan. There is an entire chapter in the Quran al-Karim, Surah al-Dahr, which is also known as al-insan, Surah al-insan. And this aspect of insaniyat, and being a good human being, being a good person, is something which the Quran al-Karim makes reference to as a constant theme. And if we have to look at the halat and the conditions of mankind, and if we have to look into our own, very own condition as individuals, we find that the greatest need is for us to rediscover and find ourselves as human beings. Hakimul Ummah, the great scholar of the Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, is famously known. He used to say and advise people that if a person wishes to learn, he wants to specialize in the science of Islamic studies, he wants to become a proficient qari, or he wants to do some other form of studies, then there are many institutions where a person can go and he can excel and he can gain this knowledge. But if a person wants to become a true human being, he wants to become an insan, then in his humility, he says, I invite you to come and spend time with me, and I will be able to impart to you the characteristics that make a person a good human being. So this is something that is critical, it is something that is important, it is something that is imperative, and it is something that the Quran al-Karim has mentioned as, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for this very purpose, that we worship Allah Rabbul Alameen, and we conduct ourselves as human beings in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires from us. Now, if we go to the Quran al-Kareem, we find that there is a verse which actually encompasses what a human being is. And this is through the character and the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, because he was the human being on the highest pedestal of good character and akhlaq. He was the possessor of makarim al-akhlaq. And therefore the Quran al-Kareem directs its guidance through the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to humanity. The ayah which appears in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 199, and it is an ayah which we should go and look up, open a authentic tafsir of the Quran al-Kareem commentary in English, and read through the explanation of this particular verse, a short verse, a concise verse. Allah Ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Three injunctions to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three statements, three sentences we can say. But in it, it carries everything that a human being requires to become a person of integrity and to become a person of success and salvation. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi, a great commentator of the Quran al-Kareem, he says regarding this ayah and verse, ليس في القرآن آية أجمع لمكارم الأخلاق من هذه الآية. He says there is no verse in the Quran al-Kareem that is more comprehensive, that encapsulates and encompasses the beautiful, splendid character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam better than this ayah, in the manner that this ayah does. Another commentator of the Quran al-Kareem, closer to our time, the great Mufti and commentator, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahimahullah, in his tafsir and commentary, he refers to this ayah and verse as the manifesto of moral excellence for the believers. This ayah is depicted, or it's defined, or it's declared as a manifesto for every human being, for him to be able to uphold a high ground of character and humanness within him. So what does this ayah mean, and how does this ayah speak to us? The first part of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, become a forgiving person. Develop the ability to be patient. Become resilient. Create a capacity within yourself to have some form of resilience and resolve within yourself. Be a forgiving person. Be a big-hearted person. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, when this ayah was revealed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, that what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intend, and what is the import of this ayah to us, O Jibreel? Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, through the explanation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he informs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that خُذِ الْعَفْوَ means forgive the one who wrongs you. Give to the one who withholds from you. And be good to the one who is not so good to you. And this encapsulates and it sums up what the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. The way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed himself in his akhlaq and his character. And this is what we are expected to do as human beings and as believers and as followers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the critical thing as far as relationships is concerned, because this is the area which we find the greatest amount of tribulation today, in relationships, in marriages, in homes, in families, in communities, in societies, and as a ummah generally. This is where we find that there is a great difficulty in us finding common ground, in us understanding each other. In English, there is a nice saying that find a way to find others. Find a way to find others. And when a person looks for something, like in Arabic it is said, Majadda wajab. A person who seeks something, he's looking for something, he's trying to find a way, then he will find that way. But the condition is that a person has to be seeking something. He has to have an inner worry. He has to have an inner concern of seeking and finding and achieving. So the critical aspect when it comes to relationships, in terms of this verse, is that we do not deal with people in the way that people deal with us. This is the formula. We do not deal with the next person in the way that that person deals with us, because if I deal with a person in the way the person is dealing with me, then it means that my action is determined and controlled by what that person is doing and saying. So, like in our societal relationships, if you visit me, I'll visit you. You don't visit, I don't visit. You smile, I smile. You don't smile, I don't smile. And we can extend that list to all aspects of our relationship. However, the prophetic formula is, the Quranic formula is, that you deal with a person according to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once a person takes that position of dealing with a situation or a relationship in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to deal with it, then he has now taken the higher moral ground. He has exercised his intellect and his mind. Otherwise, if a person is reacting to a person without thinking, a knee-jerk reaction, then it means that that person is actually controlling my behavior. Like in English it is said, a person who angers you, conquers you. If you become so angry and enraged with a person, and you give vent to that anger in an incorrect manner, then that person has actually conquered you, he has defeated you. So therefore, the manner of responding in a relationship is to actually take the higher moral ground and behave with that person in a better way. And what does that require? Khudil laf. It requires us to be patient, to have endurance, to have resolve, to be resilient, to be emotionally, mentally, inwardly strong and firm. The second aspect that we learn from this ayah al-kareemah, or this aspect of this ayah al-kareemah, is that everyone is wired differently. Don't expect the next person to think like you. Allah Ta'ala has created diversity. Like how in our physical shapes, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created diversity in the forms of nations and races and communities. In the same way, the inward of a person is also different and diverse. And there is nothing wrong in a person being different to another person, or a person taking a different approach to another person. However, the challenge arises that how do you manage that particular difference? How do you manage that particular potential for conflict? And when the emotions of the parties are now being given vent and are being expressed, what is to be done? They say that most failures are not competency failures. It's not that people don't have knowledge, that they don't have intellect, they don't have an understanding. It's not a competency failure. Most failures are character failures. So a person will have the knowledge, a person will have the wisdom, the understanding, the right thinking, or the ability to think correctly. But what fails him is his ability to hold the right character at that particular moment. And therefore we find that we cannot blame a situation purely on compatibility. Whenever there's a breakdown in a situation, particularly in a marriage with spouses, we can't get along because we're not compatible, or we're no longer compatible. Compatibility is one element, one part of a relationship. But success of a healthy and successful relationship has to do less with compatibility than it has to do as to how a person manages incompatibility. So these are the golden formulas that we derive from this beautiful ayah of the Quran al-Kareem, that khudil af, develop these abilities, develop these qualities, and you will find that it will be easier for a person to manage conflict in a relationship, because it is inevitable to completely do away with conflict. It's either that a person goes and lives in isolation somewhere and does not bother himself with his society or with people, or it is that a person develops the right ability and character and then engages with people with this character, which will then become a means of goodness, not only for him, but for the people he interacts with also. So the first part of this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذِي الْعَفْوَ, the importance of developing all these good qualities that will keep a person steady in a relationship. The second aspect, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, a understood translation of this particular part of this ayah will be that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being given an injunction that command with good, call people towards virtue, towards good deeds, towards doing good things, towards having good behavior, towards good conduct. Wa'mur bil urfi. Now here again, we ask ourselves that what is meant by good deeds, what is meant by worship? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah is saying, I created you for worship. What does worship actually what do we understand by worshipping Allah? We have the fundamentals of our deen. Salah is a fundamental, an obligation, extremely important. But what portion of our day is spent in salah? Fard salah can be an hour, hour and a half of the day. At most, if we take 2 hours, that's 22, or that's 2 hours out of the 24 hours. What worship is a person doing in the remainder 22 hours of the day? What definition of worship does that fall under? If we look at Ramadan, 30 fast, it's 1 month from 12 months. What worship is a person expected to do in the remainder 11 months? And like that, if we take zakah, a fraction or portion of a person's wealth, hajj once in a lifetime. So these are obligations, these are fundamentals, these are imperative. However, it is not the limitation of ibadah. It is not the end of ibadah. After a person leaves the masjid, he goes into an environment. And therefore, the manner in which a person deals with people, speaks to people, the kindness that a person shows, the gentleness that a person shows, a person feeds, he helps, he uplifts, he motivates, he consoles, he inspires. All of these things take place out of the prism of the obligatory worship. And that is actually the majority part of the life of a person in terms of time. And these acts of worship, like salah and hajj and fasting, are actually the vehicles that facilitate a person to actually achieve what he would achieve outside the aspect of formal worship. So, wa'mur bil urfi, when you are commanding people towards good, remember that it entails the aspect of your character, your conduct, and how you deal with people. The other aspect to keep in mind, as far as this particular part of the verse is concerned, is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, "An-nas ma'adin ka ma'adin al-fidda wal-zahab." In reference to people, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa mentioned "An-nas," all people. Our minds, M-I-N-E-S. Everyone is a mine. And what is a mine? A mine contains valuable minerals, precious metals, precious stones. However, the value of that preciousness that is in the ground will only be acquired when it is mined. When it is taken out of the ground, and it undergoes a process of purification and cleansing and shining and polishing, then will that now begin to shine, and it will have the value that it has, that gold and silver has. So the Hadith Sharif uses the example of silver and gold. That people are like gold. People have gold in them. People have silver in terms of their spirituality, in terms of their ability, in terms of what they can do. So therefore, find that in people. That is the responsibility of a believer. The instruction is to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the ayah speaks to us. Now that is your responsibility. That is what you should be trying to achieve and pursue. To find the good in people. And that is why there is so much of emphasis on looking at the positives of a person. They say that you see in a person what you look for. So if you look for faults, you'll find faults. If you look for weaknesses, you'll find weaknesses. If you look for cracks, you'll find cracks. But if you look at what the potential of that person is, then you will find that. So the emphasis is on looking at the potential of people, at the goodness of people. An-nas ma'adin. People have potential. And this relates to us directly, even in our within our homes. Our spouses have the potential. Our children have great potential. Our students have great potential. How good am I to be able to unearth that potential and to let it shine? That is our challenge. And that is where the prophetic formula comes in. That is where the teaching of the Quran comes in. That what the way that I express myself, the way that I portray myself, the way that I deal, and the way that I conduct myself will determine what people actually achieve thereafter. That is why we find in Makkatul Mukarramah, when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came there, where were the people? What was their character? We know what was the Ayyam Jahiliyyah like. But the very people that despised Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in various incidents it is mentioned that they even hated him, they were the very people who became his most ardent followers thereafter. So what was it? It was the soft skills of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the people's skills. And today they use all these terms, soft skills and emotional intelligence and everything, but it all points back to the Quran and the Sunnah. We have the sauce. Today we're looking at how others are teaching it and packaging it. Emotional intelligence, soft skills, people skills. Hadith Sharif, Quran Sharif is the source of all this information, of all this knowledge. So therefore, that aspect is also very imperative as far as this ayah is concerned, that the way that we lure people and attract people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third aspect of this ayah, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And this completes the مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That you are definitely going to face a situation of negative-mindedness, of opposition, of criticism. Not everyone is going to be like-minded like you. Not everyone is going to be agreeable to you. Not everyone is going to befriend you. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That in such a case, what do? Do you take up the fight with the person? Do you also go down to the low moral ground? No. An intelligent person does not react, but he responds. And there's a difference between reacting and responding. When a person is in an emotional state, it's very easy to react and say something and blurt out things. So when a person reacts, he's acting without his mind. He's not reflecting. He's just reacting. So he will blurt out something, he will say something, or he will do something more than that. And to respond means that a person takes a step back in a situation. And this is where Khudhil Af comes in. If a person has the ability to be patient, to be forbearing, to be forgiving, then that is where the person is able to now resist and restrain himself. He takes a step back and he processes what is happening. And when he processes what is happening, he now determines a course of action. That how do I respond in this situation? Do I say something or don't I say something? And then again, if you look at the Quran al-Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speaks about speech. قُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Allah speaks about the importance of a person holding higher moral ground with speech. How important it is to speak gently, to say the right thing, at the right time, in the right place, with the right tone. This is the philosophy of speech, the philosophy of communication. Unfortunately today, why we find ourselves gripped in so much of difficulty in relationships is because we have not learned communication. I don't know how to communicate effectively. One is to communicate, we all speak. But effective communication is not sound, it's not speaking. Effective communication means that first a person listens. Listening. This entire subject matter is discussed in the Quran al-Kareem.
قُلْ أُذُنُ خَيْرٍ لَكُمْ. The listening ability of a person, the way that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam listened to people. And after a person listens, and listening is just not hearing. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is sound. Listening is processing and understanding. And then a person speaks. Then his speech. And then a person understands and analyzes. So communication has different parts, but that's a different subject matter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, that do not let this type of opposition or criticism dampen your spirits. Do not let it demotivate you. Do not let it cause a harm in your work and your effort that you are doing, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to express his emotion also, as far as this was concerned. It used to affect him. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala continued consoling him in the Quran al-Kareem. Wallahu al-musta'an ala ma tasifoon. Seek Allah ta'ala's help against them. فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ قُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ. All of these formulas are in the Quran al-Kareem as far as a person becoming a competent, well-rounded, well-molded human being. And in that way, we find that a person will be able to be a genuine influence. When a person develops character and akhlaq, then thereafter, the type of fragrance that begins to emanate from a person's actions, it is something that no one will be able to resist. And that is why we find that those who are truly pious, those who have attained high closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in higher ranks, they are so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people become attracted to them. People want to be in their company. People want to associate with them because they find that peace and that happiness in people who have good character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from people of makarimi akhlaq, good character and akhlaq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of this verse.